And here's another look at relationships in the Bible from Ephesians 5. God loves relationships because He is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, and modeling for us as He reaches out to lost humanity how to have a good friendship or how to be connected to His people, the body of Christ, ministering to people we don't know, strangers, and husband and wife also. You might look at every relationship you have as a three-way covenant. I don't think there would be anything unbiblical about that. It would be you, the other person, and God right in the middle of that relationship, ordaining it, setting you up to know that person. That's the threefold cord, not easily broken. In the Bible, a covenant is a promise to love in the present and a promise to love in the future. So that's a pretty powerful statement. You know, to say that you can count on certain behaviors and actions from me today and on into the future. In early in the Bible, there's a lot of covenants that God did unilaterally. That is all by Himself. He said, I'm going to do this. For example, the rainbow. I won't destroy the earth by flood anymore. I will do this on my own. No matter what you do, I will do this. There's some health behind a unilateral covenant. Also, Genesis 12, as God talked to Abraham, He said, I'm going to do this no matter what you do. So, that is a part of some of the relationships we have with people. God, first of all, puts Himself in the middle. And even for husband and wives, as they say things to one another, they will say, I will do this just because, period. For better or worse, richer or poor, in sickness and in health. If you do everything else for me, it's not expressed that way. It's I will do this. I'll be responsible in some type of unilateral way to express love in any given situation, which is a very big challenge. I think quite difficult to do without the Lord. And He helps us to do it first imperfectly, and then in a growing way as time goes on. So any relationship you have, put the Lord in the middle. You and your neighbor. You say, I don't like my neighbor. What should I do? Jesus said, I'm in the middle of your relationship with your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Gives us that covenant opportunity. How about an enemy? You probably have a few of those. God says, I'm in the middle of that. Love your enemy and pray for them. Okay, I understand that part of the relationship. How about a stranger? You might say, well, you know, I come to church and there's more strangers than people I know. What should I do? Is this bad? Jesus said, treat a stranger like you would Jesus. So you have a plan. Don't, bemoan, oh, I don't know anybody, I'm a stranger. You have a job. Go and love everybody like you would love Jesus. That'll keep you busy. And you'll gain some friends who are presently strangers. And so, to each of us, God says, He's in the middle. He makes a big deal out of relationships. The Bible says, for example, this about friendships. Friend loves at all times. That's some faithfulness we can get from the Lord's character. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Sometimes know another person. Boy, you feel like, man, they're like family in there. And God provides that. He models that. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. That's from the Bible. Sometimes a friend is going to tell you things you really need to hear, not just what you want to hear. And they'll do it in a loving way to bring strength to your life. You say, thank you. Boy, I didn't even see that in myself. And it'll be a benefit from God. And Proverbs goes on to say, don't forsake your friend. So you hang in there. There's something good about that, you know. And there's a big cry in our society for relationships. I'm not on Facebook, but if I was, I would have a Facebook contest. I would try to get 2,000 friends. I'd go for high school, grade school, you know, everybody I've ever met. The clerk at Giant Eagle, are you on Facebook? Would you put me in there, you know? Maybe it'll give me some help. But I don't know if it would. Maybe I'd be a nuisance. Jesus identified himself as a source of friendships when he said, greater love is this, that has no one in this, than you lay down your life for his friend. So he models that for you and I. And you and I can never say, I don't have any friends. Because Jesus is your friend. He already said he's your friend. He already proved that he's your friend. So you have a good, what a friend you have in Jesus. Man, he could really teach you how to be a friend to somebody else. And he invites you to be a friend to him back by trusting him and following him. So God creates all those relationships. He performs the first marriage, Adam and Eve, the closeness there. The two shall become one because God said so. Jesus said when he thought about marriage, he didn't think it was like a consumer experience, you know, as long as it's working for me, I'm in. But he said he put the ones together. What God has put together, that's a humbling thing. You know, to think, I just thought she was my wife. Yeah. What God has put together. So when you have a problem in any relationships or in marriage, you want to start with God. He gets bypassed a lot. Start with God. Don't start with the sins of the spouse. Because you can never cover that base till Jesus comes back. There's too many. You'll be sitting there counting them until, you know, your life is over. Don't just stop either with the own brokenness and pain of your life. That's real, and God cares about that very, very much. And he's there to be a helper and healer. But if you just stay there, you're just going to say, look what he did to me. Look how she treated me. And you'll get stuck there. Start with God. Start with God. What does God want me to do as a husband? What does God want me to do as a wife? You see, don't put God last. Put him first. See, you're not a pagan. Pagan said, what should I do? How can we work this out between the two of us? Christian says, I turn to God. He put us side by side and one. And let's work with him. He joined us together. There's practical rules I want to get into in Ephesians 5. And again, a lot of deference to Pastor Hughes, Pastor Keller, nice book called The Meaning of Marriage, and Pastor Begg for some of these illustrations. But you're looking at the passage. If you find yourself in that life state, ask God for the grace to live this out. If not, you say, how can I bless the other folks who are there, you know, in marriage itself? And let God use this time for you and your own, the health of your own soul toward Christ and other people. You look at the big passage, Ephesians 5, 46 words for the wives, 115 words for the husbands. Okay? So husbands, you're in for it. Okay, the Lord's gonna zero in on you in that. Maybe that's because ladies are a little better at relationships. We're gonna give them that right off the bat. Because the rest of it's tough news for you women. So you gotta get some blessings when you can. Okay, wives, it says, out of reverence for Christ, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Verse 22 comes right on the heels of 21. You have some Christians submitting to one another, and then you have the wife submitting to her husband as to the Lord. 22 is a specific working out of 21. Okay? In the passage here. Because I'm a Christian, you would say, because a gal would say, because I'm a Christian wife, I'm going to submit to my husband. That's a goal. Or that's God's will for my life. It's a clear thing. And it's an imperfect analogy, but you go home and pray about it, and you can give me a better one if it doesn't work biblically. In the home, you have somebody's the president and somebody's the vice president. Okay, the guy's the president. The wife is the vice president. That's the way the Lord set it up. In his engineering of family life, he doesn't want two presidents. Okay, that's not going to work. And the guy doesn't want to marry another president. Okay, unless he has a problem. Somebody's the president, somebody's the vice president. That's how the Lord set it up. And because you have an opportunity out of reverence for Christ to submit to someone who loves you and who said so and hopefully is living that out. And if for the wives, if you don't submit to your husband, you're going to submit to somebody. You want to keep that in mind. You'll submit to the world. They don't have too good of plans for you. You'll submit to yourself, and that's be a selfish thing, or you submit to one who is to love you all the time. So Jesus invites you to the healthiest way under Him. And so that's a blessing. You'll be at your most strong and most effective, wives, when you are in the role of deference to your husband, to make that adjustment to his particular strengths and weaknesses. And so there's freedom and strength in submission. An imperfect analogy. Doesn't fit quite as for husband and wife, but it was a working relationships that I had. You know, when you work in certain settings, you have to work alongside people. It's almost like a little home for 8 hours a day there. There were certain, thank the Lord, most of the jobs I've had fantastic people to work with and just, you know, gained strength and gave and received and all that. Occasionally I would have people I worked with who were really difficult to work with. Bossy, overly authoritarian, irrational, selfish, you know, the whole nine yards, unreasonable. And initially my strategy was, I'm going to fight this person tooth and nail every step of the way. And I'm not going to do what they want me to do, and I'm going to tell them how dumb they are, and well, hopefully somebody will get rid of them so I don't have to deal with it. And when I would do that, things did not go well. They didn't. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. The other person was more irritating than before. And that's just the way it was. And then I thought, I'm gonna try to yield to the other person. I'm gonna submit to them. Even though I think they're, you know, really off the wall in many cases. But I tried, out of deference for Christ, submit to the one who had the steering wheel at that point. To my surprise, and it was to my surprise, I started to accomplish a lot in my work experience. I started to be successful in what I thought was healthy. I started to actually have an influence on the person I thought was really, really, you know, off. And when things went bad, guess who that person turned to for some suggestions on how to get the ship steered well? He turned to me. Because he figured, well, at least this guy listens, you know, to me. And there was some health that happened. So there's strength and freedom and influence when you submit. And God has designed you, if you have the role of a wife, as a fantastic equal helpmate. Interesting, I may have mentioned last week in Genesis when it says Adam was formed and then Eve was formed as a helper, helpmate for him. That word has such a strong meaning in the Hebrew. It's almost exactly the same as when Jesus said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit, the helper, is going to come, so you're going to be okay. And if your husband has been blessed with a wife, isn't it true that God speaks through His Word, and God probably speaks to you through your spouse more than anybody else. At least that's been my experience. And so the opportunity to say, I'm going to honor God, loving my husband, respecting, made in the image of God. He's not perfect. He has 10,000 problems he can't even see. But I want to honor God this way. And as I describe this passage, I will say the obvious that I'm a fellow struggler with you. Regina and I are. We're thankful for the blessing of each other. I'd give her an A+ in marriage and family life, I'd give me like a C plus. Except when we're arguing, then I give me the A plus. She the C. But if I'd encourage you, if you have problems in your marriage, you know, pray, look to the Lord, look to friends, and give her a call. But we Christian people are glad to just listen and love with the love of Christ. And this congregation has wonderful resources. Bill and Norma Wood and Bernie and Jane Murphy and many others just right from the pew, which we're going to look at in a little bit here. But to walk with the Lord, wives, that's a holy calling from God. And if the husband is really off, what a terrible heartache. You know, some folks have said, you weren't called to submit to somebody who doesn't love you. You could probably submit imperfectly and just say, well, I just do this for a while out of reverence for Jesus. Certainly in no abuse situations should you put yourself in a position of danger, physical or verbal abuse. And those things should be, once is too many, and once is the end of that behavior. You just have to make that clear. That's part of your covenant before God. How are you going to respect Christ if you don't walk in a way that can honor Him by just going in a bad light? But the blessing of a Christian wife, wonderful from the Lord. Sometimes God will use a Christian wife to help the guy go in the right direction. Seen this many, many times. The gal is really close to the Lord. The guy's kind of out to lunch. She knows the Bible 100 times better than him. And she tries to, you know, drag him to church and he get away from me type thing. And she'll pray for him. She'll love him. Next thing you know, he becomes a Christian, strong Christian leader. Just because of her consistent, faithful influence. It can happen. It doesn't always happen. When it gets frustrating, she'll take a shortcut. Reminds me of the story of a bride on her wedding day. She tells the pastor, I don't know if I can come down the aisle. I'm really upset. There's too much to think about. He said, okay, let's try to keep it simple. When you come down the aisle, think of the aisle and think of the altar. You're going to come and pray with him. And then think of him. Think of your husband. Just say those two focuses right off the bat. So she's coming down the aisle and she said, aisle, altar, him. Altar, him. That's no good, see. But often a wife will do that not out of the, superiority complex in her own heart. She wants her husband to thrive like he was created to thrive. Okay? She wants that. Go for it, honey, you know. And if he doesn't realize his role, you buy him one of those sweatshirts that says, the boss. That's a reminder for him and for you. He'll put that thing on. Next thing you know, he'll ask you out on a date or ask you to go to church or something. But that's for the wives. And it's a tough call, but it's a godly call, and it honors Jesus. One more illustration, I think, put the sense of realism in it. Jesus, urban legend, Jesus is welcoming the guys in heaven. He's saying, okay, guys, let's see what crowns are to the honor of eternity here. First, I'd like all the guys who had a tough time at home and, you know, you kind of blew it. Your wife had to do everything and be in charge. You, go over here to the left, okay? So there was a massive movement to the left. And then there was one fella who was standing over here. Jesus said, everybody to the right. The guys were in charge of the house, no question. Go to the right. There was one guy, brave guy, standing to the right. And Jesus said, you must feel pretty awkward over there. He said, yeah, my wife told me I should stand here. But you, the Lord calls us to some health from Him. And say, Lord, help. Now to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave Himself up for her. Husbands have a chance to be a picture of the gospel. just like Jesus, well, he'd do anything, everything for us in terms of how can I help? The husband does that on behalf of the wife. That's when you are at your best. Every husband's willing to die for his wife and serve her gladly day to day. Just, autobiographical. Our marriage is the best when I am initiating godly service to the family, to my wife in particular. And it's a blessing and an honor to do that. Guys have a chance to serve. Serve first. Be a servant leader. You say, well, I thought I was the chief. Yeah, you're the chief of the serving. Great opportunity. And marriage is a domestic portrait of grace. It's like a gospel drama displayed in day-to-day relationship. Okay. Each day, an offering to God. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. How can you do that? Well, the Holy Spirit can do that with you. His Word. There's a story of a fellow who wanted to be a C.S. Lewis expert. He loved the literature, so he read C.S. Lewis all the time about every topic possible. Friendship, the Lord, economics. I mean, he was a walking C.S. Lewis guy. And he would talk, and it was almost like C.S. Lewis coming out. And just think for the guys, it could be for your soul, men, that you look to Jesus like that and you read of Him. This is how Jesus treated the people. This is how Jesus took action. This is how Jesus loved and forgave. And then, guys, when you took actions and attitude toward your wife, she said, man, this is a lot of goodness coming out of that husband of mine because he steeped himself in the Lord. See, and guys, you won't get a better example by far anywhere. Let that character of Christ be in you. J. Vernon McGee said, most of the marital problems are right there. And guys, you know where we live. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to realize the world's not out there filled with guys following the Lord. Right? But you can be one. And you will influence many. And most of all, you influence your own home in that way. So you yield to Christ and you say, I love my wife 100% all the time, no matter what. How does God bless you guys? He blesses you grace upon grace, one blessing after another. When your wife senses you love her, man, she's going to be so thankful. And just a wonderful picture of the gospel. I remember the story of a time where parents of the bride came down the aisle. The mother was not escorted because she was carried down by the dad of the bride because she was disabled through a bad stroke. So he carried her down the aisle and sat her where she was to sit. And he took care of her during the whole wedding ceremony. And he was actually the picture of what was to occur in the long experience of the marriage together. And a lot of ups and downs, a lot of pains, and a lot of heartache and brokenness. And God understands, and He'll meet you where you're at. You could start afresh. I liked Laura's song to say, God's great enough, pure enough for my chance to start again. And however that is, no simple answer, but a real answer from Christ. That's what you go for. And quickly in closing, some things to put into practice in a healthy marriage. Start with God, wherever you're at again. I haven't seen insurmountable problems between a couple. And I know it takes two to turn this way. But when one turns this way, there is a peace interjected in the relationship that was not there before. Be extravagant in affection. Just go head over heels. Loving who's most important to you. Who's number one? Who are you one with? I like the old James Taylor song, shower the people you love with love. Things will work out better if you only will. You say, I don't love the person. Just say, God, Philippians 2:13, God who is at work in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Pray for the marriage and the home. Put it before God and say, these are your people, Lord. It said all the guys are supposed to realize that if you're married, you're married to, you have Jesus as your father-in-law. Okay? So, respect level, behavior level goes way up. Actions of love lead to feelings of love. You take those actions. It's the old story, the old time, straight as a razor edge preacher. The husband comes in. I don't know what to do. I can't love my wife. She just one headache after the next. So he says, well, Bible says, husband, love your wife. No, she's not my wife anymore almost. She's like a neighbor. Let me look. Bible says, love your neighbor. He said, no, not a neighbor. I would say like a stranger. I hardly know her. Let me look in the Bible. What's it say? Treat the stranger like you treat Jesus. Okay. Go ahead. Now, wait a minute. Not even stranger. I'd say enemy. Definitely worst person in my life, I'm telling you. He looked, I don't know what to do. Let me look in the Bible. Love your enemies. And pray for them. And go ahead and love. Not a lot of detours there, but perhaps an opportunity to say, with Jesus' help, maybe there's a wisdom there. Children are not the glue or the weapons in a family. They're a blessing. When things were going difficult with teenagers at home one time in another family, the husband said, hold it. He said, remember, they go and we stay. Okay? For all the adjustments that you make for children. And this is from our Wednesday night Bible study. Wonderful group of people, all ages, all married experiences, single, widowed, newlyweds. And I said, what would you tell married folks? And this is what they said. Don't dig up old failures. Forgive. You know, make that 24-hour goal. Hey, I work it out as soon as I can with my loved one. Watch that memory. You know, what did you have for lunch on Thursday? I don't know. But at the same time, we'll say, I remember 5 years ago over your mother's house at 4:30 in the afternoon, you don't let that memory be something that's not of God. Say, I want Jesus to heal that. The golden rule, I treat others like I want to be treated. One dear person said, man, we couldn't do anything. The only thing we did, once a week, we'd buy a popsicle, split the popsicle, and take a walk. And that's what kept our marriage together, you know. Isn't it pretty romantic? There's a lot of 19-year-olders that love a date like that. Right? Devotions together, you put more than yourself into it. You put Jesus into that. Guys, be the shepherd of the house. Just like in a fellowship, here's a true secret. The pastor's not always the one who knows the most Bible or who's even closest to the Lord at any one given time. Did you realize that? Some of you think of that every week. But in the home, guys, you point people to the Lord. You could have received Jesus last week. You could still be an effective ambassador for Him, pointing people to the Lord. Expect disagreements and date once a week. And for all the opportunity of relationships, how holy they are. And how much work they take and how much healing they take. And how God shows Himself great on our behalf. And when the biggest mess up in relationships occurred, you know, God just didn't say, let's make this okay. Let's just, you know, work this out real easily. He said, I'll take all the pain. And I'll take all the sin. and I'll take all the everything that was bad, and I'm going love right here at the cross. And as believers, we learn to do that from how wonderful Jesus is. And could you say, you know, I can't be a good friend without the Lord. I can't be a good spouse without the Lord. Would you take Him as Lord of that area of your life and just say, Lord, one step at a time. And nobody has it perfectly, but we do have a perfect leader in Jesus.